So we're 2 weeks in now in the Advent season, and our theme for this Advent is the awe and odd of the Christmas story. And I understand, grammatically, that makes no sense. I get it, English peoples. And that was kind of our point. I think sometimes when we look at Scripture, like if you've been reading Scripture for a long time, you look at it and we just kind of pass through stuff. But if I'm newly looking at the Word of God, and I see some of these stories and some of these situations in Scripture, I think my mind goes, "What in the world is going on here? That makes absolutely no sense. That's strange. You guys believe this? That's strange." And so this Advent season, we wanted to hit those. So we didn't want to just read through the text and not point out the obvious that some of what's happening here is odd. And this is what I believe. It's okay. God does weird stuff. It's all right because he's God, and he's allowed to do that. But let's look at some of these things. So if you have a Bible, open up to Luke chapter 1, as it was shared with us a little earlier. If not, we've provided one in front of you. It's page 990 in that pew Bible. Just quickly, I know some of you saw on the way in, we have the Green Creations table set back up again. And last time when we set it, a couple weeks ago, we set it up, and people didn't come prepared for that. 100% of what you purchase there goes to help women in need in the Middle East, most of which who will not have an income without this. And it's all recycled materials, so it should just give you warm fuzzies before Christmas. So make sure you see that table on the way out. That was free of charge. Luke chapter 1. Hey, let's jump in verse 5. And begin this story. It says, "In the time of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments, regulations, blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both along in years." Right. First off, there are some odd things here, just culturally. They were blameless in the sight of the Lord, yet they had no children. And in that culture, if you did not have any children, you were considered, there was something wrong with you. You had sinned or committed something. So right away, we have this dichotomy in the text. One of the hardest things for me as a pastor is sometimes you have to walk through some really tough situations with people. And a couple years ago, some friends of ours, Annette and myself, they got married and quickly wanted to start trying to have children. And for five years, they tried to have kids, and they just weren't able to. They went to the doctors to check out what was happening. And he said, "You have about a 5% chance of having kids." And when you sit with a couple who's experiencing that, all the good Christian stuff that I want to say doesn't kind of land. It doesn't kind of settle. "Well, it'll be okay. It'll be all right." So you end up just sitting. You end up sitting and listening and crying with them and feeling their pain. Because in those kind of moments, words are just words. And so can imagine this couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth, their entire lives trying to have kids, doing everything correct, everything they were supposed to do, crossing all the I's, dotting all the T's, reverse that, crossing all the T's, dotting all the I's, and just coming up short. Imagine them walking through town. "Oh, they're, look at those guys. God must not love them." These are the feelings that they were feeling. And so sitting with this couple from our church and just listening to them talk and feeling their pain, it's tough. It's tough. I'll come back to them in a second. Let's jump back into the text. So So Zechariah was a priest, and it was his turn to go before the Lord, which is kind of a big deal. Because if you didn't do things correctly, they literally would tie a rope around your ankle, and if you went in before the Lord and you didn't do what you were supposed to do, they would wait for the thud of you falling over dead, and they would pull you out with this rope. No pressure. Sign me up for that gig. So he goes in before the Lord, and this is what happens. It's not the norm, all right? This is not the ordinary. It has been over 400 years since anybody has heard the voice of God. And all of a sudden, in verse 11, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. No, duh. I've never seen some. I don't know what angels look like. I don't know if they're like all. Martin's like, they look like this. They wear salmon-colored shirts and brown overcoats. Now, I don't know. I don't know what angels look like. I don't know if they have a halo. I don't know where we get that. I don't know if they have wings. Like, what if they can just fly without wings? I don't know. Like, I don't know if they wear red. What if they showed up in suits? Maybe that would be odd. Nobody wore suits. Then all of a sudden this guy, what is that? I don't know. I just know it was strange. All of a sudden he's in before the Lord. His knees are probably shaking because he's got to do all this correctly. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this angel shows up. I don't know, like, I don't know if he fell over and they heard a thud and they started to pull on the rope and he's like, hold on a second. Time out. Time out. When Zechariah saw him, he was gripped with fear. Yes, but then the angel said, don't be afraid. Oh, thanks. I feel so much better now. So much better. This is just odd. It's odd. And we need to stop and recognize that it's odd. But at the same time, it's like, Zechariah, your prayers have been heard. Which ones? I've been praying my entire life. I haven't heard squat from you, God. I'm putting words in his mouth. I don't know, but your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or fermented drink, which is very custom back then. He's not supposed to do that. We want to set him apart. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. What? Many of the people of Israel will be brought back to the Lord their God. And he will go before, listen to this verse, verse 17, because this is kind of the culmination of everything that the Old Testament tells us. And he will go before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to wisdom of righteousness, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Last week, Martin kind of gave us the monstrous big picture of what all this looks like. That God created, sin entered, we were separated, but God, before the foundation of the world, wanted to make a way to bring us back to him. And so we took that wide-angled view, and we're kind of narrowing in, and all of a sudden, we're getting really, really close to this thing called the incarnation, where God takes on flesh in human form. And the angel says, your son is going to be the one who gets to announce, this is the Son of God. Sitting at a second. So odd and strange, but at the same time, the range of emotions that must be going on in his life and his soul, I can't even begin to imagine. Your son is going to be the one who gets to go, Son of God, check him out. And then immediately, Zechariah asked the angel, how can you be sure? I don't know how I would have reacted. He's got to be not on his best game because all of a sudden this guy appears in the middle of the Holy of Holies with him. But how can you be sure? This is the answer. I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God and have been sent to speak to you and tell you the good news. That's how I'm sure. I spend every single moment in the presence of the King of the world. And he said, Gabriel, go and tell him. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until this day, the day this happens. Because you did not believe my words, which have come true at this proper time. When he came out, his mouth is moving and nothing's coming out. And they declare, he must have seen a vision. After this, his wife becomes pregnant. In verse 25, it says, the Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. Husband doesn't believe. Wife immediately, it's God. So we're sitting with this couple from church, kind of weighing over the options. And they really, really desperately wanted to be parents. Doctor said, listen, it's going to be about 5% chance. So if I were you, I would adopt. So they begin the process, which is long and drawn out. And it can take years and it costs tons of money. And they begin this process, and they're walking through the process, and all of a sudden, their profile gets presented to somebody, and this mother-to-be looks at their profile and says, wow, I like these guys. They meet several times. They're getting closer, closer, and closer to the due date. And then at the very last minute, now, we don't want to give our kid to you. Several more hours of tears, frustration, anger, despair. It's going to be okay. Jump down to verse 39. To me, this little section that gets thrown in here, it's just like this added bonus in the story. We're going to talk about Mary next week in full. So Mary went to visit Elizabeth, and as soon as she shows up, the baby inside of Elizabeth jumps for joy. I've never been pregnant before. Just full disclosure. Full disclosure, I've eaten some bad burritos, but I've never been pregnant before. But those times, like when Annette would be like sitting there and all of a sudden it would look like a hand just moving on her stomach, there's an alien. And you put your hand there and then there's a kick. It's like, it's amazing. I don't know what a leap is like, but I'm not sure I would want to experience it. The baby leaps with inside. I don't know. Inside, like. And then this happens in verse 31. Baby leaps, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a theme coming here. I hope you see this. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of the Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped with joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. And then it comes time. It comes time for this kid to be born. In verse 57, it says, when the time of Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared in her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, as they were going to name him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, no, he is to be called John. They said to her, there is no one among you in your relatives who has that name. Then they made a sign to the father to find out what he wanted to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. And immediately his tongue was open, his mouth was open, his tongue was loosed, and he began to praise God. The neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about these things. Everyone heard this, were wondering about, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord, his hand is upon him. This is odd. Waited all this time, can't speak, all of a sudden, this trust in Creator God goes through mind into hand, and he writes out the declaration that God told him to. This child's name will be John, and he will make a way for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as soon as that happens, mouth opens. Can you imagine sitting there? This guy's just like, nothing's coming out. And as soon as he writes that, praise comes out his mouth. I would be a little bit in awe, I think. I want to know, what in the world is going on here? So we're sitting with our friends, and they're in full despair. They can't have a child. Nobody wants to give them a child. Just incomplete, just despair. One Sunday morning, they walk in, huge smiles on their faces. What's going on? We're pregnant. Seven years later, they have three children. I guess to God, 5% is not a big deal. It's not a big deal. In verse 67, it says, his father, John's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit. Your son will be filled with the Holy Spirit at birth. As soon as Elizabeth sees Mary, she's filled with the Holy Spirit. As soon as his son is born, Zechariah is filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's like God's going, you get the Spirit, you get the Spirit, you get the Spirit. This is the truth. Every Tuesday we sit and we talk about the text with a couple guys from church. We have this preaching team. And there are some weird, odd things that happens in those meetings. We throw out some really bad theology. And then occasionally somebody says something and we're like, whoa, hold on a second, let's just stop. Let's just stop right there. We're sitting there this past week. We're talking about this text. And all of a sudden, Sean throws down this. Life is weird and odd and strange. You don't get to dictate it. But when you opt into God's story, the outcomes are amazing. And as soon as it came out of his mouth, we were like, and I'm like, say that again. He's like, I don't know what I said. And Con goes, hold on a second. Life is weird and odd and strange. You don't always get to dictate it. But when you opt into God's story, the outcomes are amazing. This morning, church, as we narrow in this view of this holy God who wants nothing more than to restore your soul, as we get closer and closer to the recognition that we celebrate on Christmas morning, that the incarnation, God in flesh, has taken place. As we get closer and closer to that, can we stop this morning and take one moment to ask ourselves the question, is there an area of my life where I need to opt into the story of God? Is there a place this morning, is there a situation this morning where it's time to opt into the story of God? Is there a trust issue? You've been waiting years and years and years and years and years, and God just does not seem to be answering. Not that all of a sudden it's magically sprinkled, that all magically going to happen. But are you willing this morning to go, God, I will trust you. If I have to wait 100 years for your answer, I'll do it. Let's pray. Just take a minute. Is there a trust piece this morning that you need to allow, you need to opt into? Let's take a minute.